Luke 2. It's a cold, wintry day. The emphasis that the Lord was showing me in Luke chapter 2, I'm going to say very loud, you know, not to break your ears or anything, but loud enough where you know that's going to be the emphasis of what we're going to talk about from this Christmas story, this Christmas day. I think this is the first time we've ever had a Christmas day.
I think so.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. This is a very interesting topic that came from this, and I'll tell you why after I announce the word. And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Father God, we thank you for your word. I pray I decrease and you increase. I pray for that hot coal from heaven to purify anything that comes out, and the hearer as well, Lord, the ears of the hearer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And this taxing was the first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth the firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So if you caught it, joy is going to be the topic of this Christmas story, or what I'm going to pull out of this. And it came in an interesting way in different places. One of the places was down at the Underground Cafe down there. I was walking down the steps there, and there was that picture of the laughing Jesus. Do you ever see that? It kind of takes you off guard. It's a laughing Jesus. He's kind of looking up, and you could tell he's chuckling. Has anybody ever seen that in here? You've seen lots of pictures of Jesus, artists' renditions. It's nothing probably what he ever looked like, but people's attempts anyway. And this one just kind of takes you off guard because you don't think of Jesus that way too much, you know, laughing like that. So joy is going to be our topic, and different aspects of that came to me even this morning. That, turning on the PC to take, you know, to do the research, finish up the teaching here, you know, the update comes on the computer, and it's one of those big ones. It's called the Creator's Update from Windows 10 or whatever it is. And so it just takes forever, and it reboots and comes back up, and it's like we're not going to get on there. Forget about it. The Creator has an update for us, though. And it isn't Microsoft, it isn't from Bill Gates and all that foundation. It is the Creator God. He has an update for us, and that is the joy. Your joy would be full this morning. So let's receive that today through His Word. Let's receive the joy, and that our joy would be full. It's a gift from heaven. In fact, it's the best commandment. If you turn with me to Philippians 4:4, best commandment anybody could ever give you. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We could finish up today singing that old song. It's kind of a, what do you call it, a round?
Yeah, I think it was a children's song.
It's a round, okay. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So from that main command, we're going to look at three different things about rejoicing always. And again, I say rejoice. We're going to look at the future, what that means. We're going to look at the present right now, what that means. And we're going to look at the past, what that means. Let's start with the future. Back to Luke in chapter 6. Verse 21 is a promise. It's awesome. God gives us a command. He gives us a directive. And then he gives us a promise that we can anchor into in the future. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, that cry now, for ye shall laugh. Ye shall laugh. Tony, I'm sorry you're here, but I mean, half of my teaching is going to be about you, so I don't know what to do. You want to go in the other room? Or no, it's just, praise God. Thank you, Lord. So, Tony has a way of bringing that out in me, bringing out that laughter in me. And so different aspects God has brought in my life personally in that. And different places where God is like, you know, ease up, lighten up a little bit. You know, I tend to get too serious and it's just like too heavy. And different places he's brought me, given me Tony as a son was one of the biggest things. Another time is going to Armor of Light Church for a couple of years that we did there. And that was, there was just a lot of fun there. They had their, everything was fun. You know, they had their events outside all the time. Skits all the time. The skits were always funny. They include us in the skits right away. And we were doing crazy skits. I was in diapers standing up in front of everybody. The Lord allowed me to get back into this laughter, back into this joy. And that's the big news, that the good news is joy. The good news that God has brought us is joy is here. Isn't like, well, you know, the angels didn't come and say, well, now we have great news. It's good and bad news. No, it's great news. It's good news. Great joy. Great joy. So in our future, you can think of these three things. You can break them out with the three gifts that were given to Jesus. The gold being the future, him coming back as a king. Jesus, our king. The present, the frankincense. He's our priest now, intercessing for us. In the past, the myrrh is death. So everything in our past is buried with Jesus Christ. You want to relate to that? So we're talking about future, and we're going to go present then to the past. Future right now is very important because that shapes our hope. Our hope isn't something like a roll of the dice or rubbing on a card or playing the lotto. It's a sure hope. It's a life-changing hope. The promises of God are yes and amen. You can put your anchor in them. It's going to come to pass. And you know, he wants us to believe it that way. He's really, if you want to please God, he's happy when we believe his promises and we take them that way. When we doubt and we're like, no, I'm not going to really step out, God. I'm going to hide the gift that you've given me because I'm not sure about you and your promises if they're real. Now, sometimes you kind of, you know, if that's a wicked servant. He doesn't want that. Doesn't please God. In fact, it angers God. God is pleased when we step out and say, God, your word says this. I'm going to step into this reality. I'm going to live my life according to these promises and step in them because you're a good God. You're a good shepherd. You lead me on paths of righteousness for your name's sake. So it's a shaping thing. The future for us is shaped by the promises of God. Not my personal hope and my bank account and all those things. That's nonsense. All that stuff's going to burn. I love the verse in the back. We still got it. Job came naked into this world, and he says, you know what? I'm going the same way. You know, there's nothing I can take. So the promises of God are really are the riches that we inherit, that we enjoy, that we set our anchor and our hope in. That's our 401, okay? You know, that is it. That's it for us. So let's move right on to the present here. When we got the promises of God in Luke 6:21, that we will laugh not only now but in the future, that there's going to be great joy. The present, the frankincense, the priest, Jesus being our priest, interceding for us, ever living in intercession for us, the go-between, the daysman, and put his hand on heaven, Father God, and me, and you. And he's the daysman, the go-between, the priest, the frankincense. And we leave that fragrance of Christ wherever we go. That priestly work that's going on in us is a fragrance that we leave. That effect of Christ is a scent that we leave everywhere we go. And people are like, there's something different about that person. It's something different about them. That's the fragrance of Christ, the frankincense, our priest. This joy that we have in the present reality. And this joy comes out of a lot of hardness. Out of the rock, the honey flows. There's honey that comes from the rock. We were talking about honey today earlier at the house. One of the proverbs about honey. But in the difficult times, in the challenges, honey can flow. And there's great joy in that. In fact, one of the trees of life that's mentioned in Proverbs is this. And it's kind of a weird one. It took me a while to figure it out. I didn't understand it for a while. And it says, hope deferred makes a heart sick. But when that hope is realized, it's a tree of life. So that difficulty, that challenge, that waiting for that, whatever it is, that person, that healing in relationships, whatever's going on, it becomes a tree of life. And that hope given forward to that realization, that reality is a tree of life for us. So that's great joy when God blesses in that way. That's our present reality with him. Yesterday, we talked about this to a great extent. In our weakness, he is strong. And that's a great joy we have in the weakness of the cross and the weakness of his physical body dying on the cross. There was joy for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. So there's in our present reality, there's this suffering going on. At the same time, there's this great joy. So some practical things for us here today. For the women in the present reality of our joy. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, verse 25. Oh no, the lady says he's going to Proverbs 31. I'm so condemned in there. I can't live up to this superwoman, this wonder woman. You know, the word of God is an empowerment. It's not there to lord over you in the sense of hanging over your head that you can never do it and condemn you and make you feel like a failure. It's an empowerment. It's an invitation to step into the reality of God. So never take the word of God as that, I can't live up to that. I can't live up to this. And you're sweating and dying. That's the old covenant. He's given us a new covenant where all the promises are fulfilled, all the word is fulfilled, the law is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We're invited now to step into the reality and allow the word to become our very life. Strength and honor, it says in verse 25, are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So this is the optimistic outlook. Woman, in the present reality, is it having optimism? Optimism. That's a great challenge because there's a lot of things that challenge that will come to challenge against that. There's a lot of reason to be, to find that not to rejoice. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So women, put on the strength and honor of Jesus Christ, put on the clothing of Christ, the armor of light, and rejoice and have and think on things that are pure and lovely and good report. Think on things that are pure and lovely and good report. Allow the peace of God to rule in your hearts. Just like a referee, ladies. Just like a referee. You start worrying. You're in that rocking chair. You hear it creaking. You're worrying on something. You're going. The referee, the Holy Spirit inside you, you hear the whistle blow. Stop right there. He doesn't want you to be rocking in that. Rock in this. That strength and honor are your clothing. And to rejoice in the time to come, in the future. Have an optimistic outlook. That is not a command. That is an empowerment that comes with that. You step into the reality of his word. It's an empowerment because of what Jesus did on the cross. You know, Lord, I know I can't do this. Make this my reality. Make your word true in me. That's a great prayer as you're reading the Bible. Make this word me. Make it me. Mold this clay right now with this word, I pray, Lord. All right, guys. That was the ladies. Oh, boy. It's a little different. I don't have a particular verse, but just conceptually from the scripture for the men. We have our father, Abraham, that the father of faith, the blueprints of faith. He believed in God. He believed in God. But look at the blessing that came. His son was named what? His first son was named Laughter. His second son, it was named Trickster. Heel catcher, Jacob, and Isaac. Isaac means laughter. Guys, father of faith, serious stuff. Serious. Okay, that's good. Good being serious dad. Laying down the law, being serious. Father of faith, believing in God, standing up for your family, standing up for your woman, your children. But not to the point where there's no joy in the house, where it's just a military barracks. And for that, God will give you a son like Isaac over here. Laughter. And Jacob, a trickster. I told you, Tony. All right? The heel catcher. These are our forefathers. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The father of faith, the father of many, and laughter and trickster. You know, think about it. The gift that came from heaven, that dropped down from earth, the great news that came is this is great joy, folks. He wants our joy to be full. Do you know that joy comes from God? It's not a manufactured thing in Walmart. You can't buy it in a box. It isn't like incidental, like God said, ooh, what's over there in that bucket? It is part of the nature of God. It's part of his package. It's part of who he is. And we know that from the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, all and goes right through them. What you're doing is we are looking under the hood at God. Look at that. We're getting a peek at who God is by understanding that, wow, God is joy. Wow, God is peace. God's long-suffering, oh, look at that one. That's a little tough, that one. But that's the nature of our God. We're looking at the nature of our God, and guess what? He wants us to be image bearers of that nature, to have joy, and that our joy would be full. Not to have imbalance in our life. It's all long-suffering. It's all long-suffering, man. It's a beautiful balance. When you bring all of those colors and identities of God together, you have a perfect, beautiful light. Perfect light. This artificial light can't compare. Even the sun can't compare to this light. This light of God. This perfect light. Allow that light into your soul today. Invite Jesus in and say, God, just illuminate me. I know as you were a light of this world, I want to be the same. Thank you, Lord God. Okay, this is for all of us. That was for the men. For all of us, is to just a warning, just a quick one here, is to avoid the crude and worldly type of humor and joy. The joy that comes from crudeness. The joy that comes at the expense of another. And that type of thing. In Ephesians 5:4, we won't go there, talks about that. You know, that coarse jesting, that crude behavior. And humor can kind of be mixed in that, and joy can be kind of tempted to be extracted from that. God doesn't like that. That's not what we're called to. That's not the joy that's pure from heaven. So just to balance that out there a little bit. In our present reality, and I was just sharing that today with somebody this morning, is there's stuff we've got to work through. The reality is there's a time to cry and there's a time to rejoice, and that's the reality of our life. And it's because of the crying that the rejoicing will come in the morning. It's that night of difficulty that in the morning the rejoicing comes because God is meeting us there. We find his mercies new. And that's really part of our life, is going through a lot of that. It's the outflow of the things working in our soul, the weeping and the rejoicing, all of this. It's good to be real in those capacities, and the Bible shows a great balance in those. Romans 12:15 is weeping with those that weep and rejoicing with those that rejoice. James 5 covers the same thing. Ecclesiastes 3 talks about it as well. There's a time to weep. There's a time to rejoice, time to plant and so forth. Father God, we pray for that emergency right now. Lord Jesus Christ, those that have been called to duty, even on a Christmas day like this, Lord, you would strengthen them, Lord, in their eyes and their focus, Lord, I pray. Lord, they might be tired from the Christmas celebration, but I pray you'd increase their focus now. Strengthen them, Lord God, for whatever they're called to do, Lord. Amen. I would encourage you, in the present reality, is to spend a lot of time in the Psalms. You know, the whole counsel of God is important. Go read the whole Bible and go line by line through it. But in your daily experience, get into the real praise right there in the Psalms. And understand the plight of humanity there, of working through things and rejoicing, coming to that place of rejoicing and coming working through things and getting all that nonsense set aside and finding yourself alone with God and rejoicing in that reality. You'll see that. You'll start to see the pattern. It's like, oh, my enemies are all around me. All this is going on. All this is happening. And somebody's working through it. They're processing through it. And they're like, man, what? Soul, why are you cast down within me? You know, there's that struggle going on within. Hope thou in God. You know, it's all of this is happening inside of a human being. And God is rooting it on. He's saying, yeah, come on, step forward. Step forward in faith and believing and that resolve and coming to that joy, that joyful place with God, knowing that he's got your back. Amen. And lastly is the past. That's the myrrh. Myrrh represents death, the burial of Jesus Christ. He would be wrapped in spices. And for us, it represents our past as well, wrapped and buried with Jesus Christ, our sins no more. Always in the past. He is faithful to forgive. And those things immediately become in the past, forgotten, expunged. Here's an awesome promise from Psalm 16. Speaking of the Psalms, let's go to there together because this was a real powerful one. Well, this would be the last thing we turn to.
16?
Yeah, Psalm 16. It's awesome that God has designed the outlet of joy, laughter, to actually be healing. And I find that really cool that he's designed it inside of us, that endorphins are released, which actually kill pain and produce a sense of well-being. Your immune system strengthens, and it's like from laughing, you know. So he wants our joy to be full. And Laughing is just an outlet of that. It doesn't mean laughing is joy. That's a physical thing. So joy is something that's a trait of God. That is the image of God working inside of you. It's much deeper than the laughter. Don't get shallow here with what that laughter is about everything and comedy heals everybody. All right, and then I'm going to just turn on all this comedy and that's going to heal me. You know, that's not what it's about. It's about the joy of the Lord. Laughter is just an outlet. You're physically allowing that joy out and expressing that. Praise is another outlet. Praising God is a release of joy. It's a release of joy unto God. So that's pretty cool. Psalm 16, the past. And the reason I put this in the past is because we need to have our glasses of the past on. You want to look at the past, you need to put these special glasses on, okay? Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life in the presence. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In the presence of God isn't spankings. In the presence of God isn't, I'm going to correct you again. I'm going to tell you again. And I don't know. In the presence of God is fullness of joy. You pulled out that one song. That's a dangerous song. Pointing a finger at you, girl, today. That was a dangerous song, pulling that out. Talking about the love of God. Go get them, we pray, Lord. We pray you just be with those people, Lord Jesus. Strengthen them as they go out to that. And we pray for that individual too, Lord Jesus, that is in that place of uncertainty. It just was, I pray they have that strength that Roger had. He had an incident a year ago, and he's in the ambulance, and he's like totally in glory. So I know where I'm going. Do you know where you're going? He's talking to the ambulance, you know, the guys that are helping him. It's like, that's right on, man. You know, to have that assurance, even when it's just like your body's going in different directions and doing some weird things, you know, it's just like, I know where I'm going. You know, I know who I belong to. Do you? You know? And he was able to witness to even the workers and really get their attention. I think it was powerful witness coming from a hospital gurney or an ambulance gurney, amen? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. That is so powerful there. This particular one, you could circle that, put your Christmas lights around this one. I have set the Lord always before me. If I look at the past, if I remember the thing, we always do this, we play the tape recorder. If you're like me, you pray, what, you know, I said this, and then she said that. Let me just play that tape recorder again, rewind it, play it again. But I kind of inflected this way, and then she kind of looked at me when she's, let me play it again, replay. Okay, when you're doing that, a way to make that time short, because it needs to be short. Stop doing that, by the way. But here's how you stop. Set the Lord before you. As I'm looking at a situation and I think I made a mistake or I feel offended, somebody said something to me, set the Lord before you. In that comes a humility. It's like, God, whatever it is, I want to hear from you. I'm not going to design, I'm not going to engineer, I'm not going to try to analyze, I'm going to set the Lord before me in that situation I'm trying to review. So this is the myrrh. This is burying things properly, because we will be haunted by things in our life that God doesn't want us to be haunted with. We need to set the Lord before us. And that sounds like a future thing, but a lot of times for us, that's looking at things no matter whether it's future or past or present. Psalm 16, 8 through 11. I would meditate on that today. Spend some time in the rest of your Christmas day. Maybe revisit this particular one. And pray this prayer also that you would know this fullness of joy in His presence. He's given me a unique gift to be able to know His love in a deeper way. Not for myself necessarily all the time, but for somebody else. I will just be overcome with God's love for somebody. And that happened today. He came and ate with us today. I will have such a powerful thing. I'll just start ignoring people. People think something's going weird. I'm in a totally different zone. God is showing me something. And I'm stepping into a place that God's love for that individual. And I'm becoming overwhelmed with it. I'm becoming overcome with it. It's a joy. In the presence of God, there's a joy and an empowerment in that, and it's powerful. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. So we're going to go back to that one command we started with, and we're going to sing that, I hope. Does that sound all right?
Sure, now we can sing Joy to the World.
All right, we're going to sing about joy. Help us open our hearts, Lord God, those that are, you know, just opening a little crack and just need to open a little bit wider and allow your light in, Lord, that we would really sense your presence, Lord Jesus Christ, even a deeper way as we move forward in our life. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, and then again I say, are we going to do left and right or front and back?
What's
that? I say we do four rounds. So
four rounds. All right. The front three will start, and then everybody behind will do the. We'll go clean them around. Okay? Front three.
Rejoice in the Lord
always.
Again, I say rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
I thought we should.